Welcome you to the Word of Life. Again, we've got new listeners with us. I appreciate that. I've been talking to several who have begun to listen to the program, and I thank you. My name is Bruce Potter, as the radio station announcer said, and I'm glad that you have joined us today here on the Word of Life. We've been involved in a study called Glimpses of Christ. It's various walks through the Gospels, looking at some of the events of Jesus' life and the significance that they have for us. If you remember, in the last two Lord's Days, we have talked about an event that happened in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. We talked about everything from, as was his custom, he stood up to read, to the point that they were ready to throw him off the cliff, and Jesus walked through the crowd. What a day that must have been. What a time it must have been to have been aware of the things that Jesus is doing, or as Jesus himself, to look into the hearts of these people and to experience the events of that day. How many times had Jesus been to the synagogue? How many times had he read the scripture so that Luke would describe Jesus' actions that day as was his custom? That event that we looked at was in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, going all the way down through verse 30. And we had looked at that event and through the eyes of those in the synagogue and through the eyes of Jesus. And I want you to understand that Jesus lived in a place that was real. This was not long, long ago in a land far, far away that is in Never Never Land. This is in Palestine. This is in the area of the northern end of Palestine. And what we have seen is that Jesus lived a very regular life for much of his life. Jesus was dedicated to his Father. And I don't mean just Joseph. I mean his Father, that is God the Father. And Jesus showed that devotion in the actions of his life that we have never seen. Jesus, the Gospel of Luke tells us, at his baptism was about 30 years old. What did he do during those 30 years that we don't know about? We have very little light on that, and much tradition and much speculation. But the light that we have is just that Jesus grew up in subjection to his parents. Luke chapter 2 tells us that. You remember the event, don't you, where Jesus went to the temple at Jerusalem in the Passover trip that his family took? And he was left behind there in Jerusalem, talking to the elders, talking to the teachers, talking to the priest. 3 days his mother and father searched for him. They finally found him. And lo and behold, what happened was Mary said, "Why have you treated us this way?" And Jesus simply answered, "Don't you know that I've got to be about my Father's business?" But after that point, he continued in subjection to them, the scripture says. How plain of a life it must have been. How ordinary. But an extraordinary individual involved in it. Jesus, when he returned to that same synagogue that he grew up in, the synagogue where he had time after time stood to read the scripture. In this event of Luke chapter 4, Jesus stood up and said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He stood up to read. He sat down to speak. And we look at this event and understand that there was beginning to be something realized about Jesus that was very different. Now, as we look at the events of Jesus' life, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Mark. And if you will, turn to Mark chapter 1. If you've got your Bible there with you, you're prepared to study. If you're driving down the road, just relax. We're going to read the text anyway. But understand that it is the text of the story that we want to look at. This was not the only experience, the Luke chapter 4 event, that Jesus had in the synagogues of Galilee and of Judea and the various places that he traveled in. The synagogue was the focal point of the religious life of the Jews throughout much of the year. Now, they made the trips to Jerusalem, the appointed feast and things like that. I understand that. But probably sometime about 6 centuries to 7 centuries before Jesus was on the scene, and that is before he was born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth and Capernaum area. Before Jesus, those 6 centuries before, we probably see the rise of what was called a synagogue, and that is the place of meeting of the Israelites for the reading of the law and the prophets and the Psalms, for the instruction by the president of the synagogue and by those who would choose to so instruct. That's why Jesus was asked to stand and read. Now, there were many other events that Jesus experienced at the synagogues. One of them we're going to read about today is in Mark chapter 1 in the city of Capernaum, which is on the seashore of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee in northern Palestine. And we begin in Mark chapter 1, verse 21, and we read down through Mark chapter 1 and verse 28. Join me in the reading, if you will. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Now you see, this is the kind of event that would cause people to set up and take notice. What we have here is an event that started out as a normal visit to the synagogue, and let's begin to approach it that way. Let's approach it like the people there that day. They didn't see anything unusual. Here's Jesus of Nazareth coming to the synagogue. Verse 21 records that they went into Capernaum. That would be Jesus and the disciples that he had. You see the mention from verse 16 down to verse 20. In verse 21, they went into the Capernaum. Immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. Now, what did he teach? If you back up several verses in the Gospel of Mark to chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, you'll begin to see what he was preaching. Look at the statement made after John had been taken into custody. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Here's Jesus preaching the kingdom of God. Here's Jesus preaching the good news of the gospel of himself and what he would accomplish. They are in the synagogue. Jesus is beginning to teach. Verse 22 talks about the response of the people to Jesus and how they saw this event as Jesus began to teach. And what a teaching it must have been. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't you like to have been able to sit in that synagogue and listen to the master teach his own covenant? We see the statement in verse 22 that they were amazed at his teaching. He was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now you understand what's meant, don't you? You see, what the scribes could do and all they could do is say, here is what God's law says and this is what it means. Jesus could say, but I say to you. In fact, later on in our studies, as we approach the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to see that Jesus would cite an Old Testament passage and then say, but I say to you. In other words, Jesus had authority in himself. Now, Jesus didn't exercise the authority he had in himself like that. What he did during his life here was submit himself entirely to the will of his Father. Jesus would say, I can say nothing except what the Father says. So here we have Jesus in the synagogue teaching. The people are amazed at his teaching because he's not teaching like they've heard before. We approach the next verse, verse 23, and we see that an event begins to take place during the synagogue service. Look at the statement of verse 23. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. Now this is what would be referred to today as possession, demon possession. This unclean spirit in this man was not there because the man had invited him in, apparently. It was not there because God hated the man. It was an unclean spirit that had possessed the man. I don't understand all the particulars except that it was not simply by choice. As we look at this then, what we see is a man who's been taken advantage of by Satan. Lord knows that's not the first time that Satan's taken advantage of someone. But we do understand that it happened. And as we look at this verse, we see the beginning of an event that would change forever the way that people look at this Jesus of Galilee, the son of the carpenter. Now look at verse 24. The unclean spirit cried out, saying, what business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. If there's anything Jesus didn't need, it was for an unclean spirit to state who he was. The ample evidence that Jesus provided by both the signs and wonders and later on the resurrection, as Paul records in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the ample evidence that Jesus provided was plenty. He didn't need Satan testifying to him. But we understand the fulfillment of a statement made later on in Scripture. You remember James chapter 1, even the demons believe and tremble. Do you see that what happened here in verse 24 was the demon recognized Jesus? The demon realized that he had no connection to Jesus. And the demon was scared. What have we to do with you? Have you come to destroy us? You see, he knew what Jesus could do. I know who you are, he says, the Holy One of God. Remember James. Remember the statement. And that's James chapter 2, verse 19. Even the demons believe and tremble. In a few moments, we'll consider what happens next. First, a song.
Some sweet day when life is o'er, we shall meet above. We shall greet those gone before in that home of love. Some sweet day, some sweet day, oh, some sweet day. Trials here below we meet, sorrow, pain, and care. In that happy home so sweet, joy and peace we'll share. Some sweet day, some sweet day, oh, that happy time will be. Some sweet day, bright the dawning of that morn, night be turned to day. Parted friends, no farewells, no tears be wiped away. Some sweet day, some sweet day, oh, that happy time will be.
So what we've got is an occasion that, at the very least, could be considered uncomfortable. Here is the demon-possessed man in the synagogue proclaiming the validity of Jesus' claims to be the Son of God. Here is Jesus. How will he respond? What will he say? Look at the statement that occurs in verse 25. Jesus rebuked him, that is, the demon, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." As I said before, Jesus did not need the testimony of a demon in order to accomplish the revelation of his identity. What Jesus needed to do was to set this man free. Be quiet. You notice that the demon didn't argue. Come out of him. You notice that the demon didn't argue. These commands given to the demon were given by somebody that had authority over those demons. Somebody that in whose presence you would be safe. You see, that's the point of what Jesus is doing here. Do you remember how we studied several months ago about the point and the purpose of the signs and miracles and wonders that were accomplished during the lifetime of Jesus and of the apostles? It was not just to put on a sideshow circus so that people could be entertained. It was to prove a point. And what Jesus proved here was what people had claimed for him already. Look back at verse 22. Remember how the people listened to his teaching and said he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes did. So the sign showed authority over demonic possession. Demonic possession couldn't stand up to Jesus. He said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Verse 26 records that he threw him into convulsions, the demon did. The unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out. The scream of the end of a purpose for the demon. Now listen closely. The demon had a fear. The fear was of the Son of God. And even the demon recognized the Son of God. Does it amaze you that there are people today that do not recognize Jesus as the Son of God? Even the demons believe and tremble. And some people today don't. How can that be? Is it just the fact that he did the signs? Is that what caused this demon to respond? If you notice, the teaching with authority, the demon inhabiting the man, crying out, then the proof of authority by Jesus casting out that demon. I don't know what the demon knew about Jesus, but the demon knew more than what many people acknowledge today. We look at the continuing story in verse 27. The people again were amazed, so they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this?" And that would be referring to Jesus' whole body of teaching, his statement, his presence, the aura of his presence, if you want to say it that way. What is this? A new teaching with authority commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. You remember the charge made later on, don't you, when Jesus was casting out demons? You remember how the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the very power of the demons themselves? What they were saying was the reason Jesus could cast them out was because Jesus is one of them. It's they're in collusion. They're working together to fool people. You remember that? Well, we don't see that here. What we see here is people in the reality of the moment looking at what Jesus did and saying this is a new teaching with authority, and it's shown in the fact that he commands the unclean spirits and they obey him. Signs, wonders, miracles are not just a sideshow occurrence, as we said. They are for a point. Jesus had something to say, and that something to say was backed up by what he did. Now, in just a few moments, we'll consider the end of this event. Right now, another song.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all.
Guilty stains.
So the presence of Jesus this day brought about a scene that caused people to realize who he was. Now, I want you to notice that people noticed the teaching with authority before Jesus cast out the demon. That's pretty essential to understand, because what was happening was people were being exposed to something they had not been exposed before. Their mind was working. And I want you to notice that very clearly what was happening here was the reasoning and logic that God had given these people was approached by the words of Jesus. And Jesus and their ability to understand, Jesus' teaching plus their ability to understand, led them in verse 22 to be amazed at the teaching he was doing. The event of the demon simply reinforced the fact that Jesus had the authority to teach as he was. And as we look then at the response of verse 27, we understand they were amazed. They were overwhelmed at who Jesus was. In the minds of them, Jesus had left being the hometown boy, that is, the boy of that area. And now he was a man teaching with authority. Look at verse 28 at what happened as a result of this event, though. Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Bad news travels fast. In this case, good news traveled fast. How did people tell this? Did the story get bigger as it went? Probably so, because people tend to do that. But the gospel account simply records the statement that the news was spreading. People would be saying, he cast out a demon. His teaching is with authority. He preaches a gospel of good news for the kingdom, good news for those who are struggling. The downtrodden, the poor are lifted up. Remember, that's what he said in Luke chapter 4 in the event in the synagogue there. You got to understand, Jesus entered the world at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. And Jesus was known by those around him. Not everybody, but many understood. We'll see in our next segment of study what it is that happened those days when the news spread and things began to change. That is, things began to change that he couldn't go anywhere without a crowd. We'll see that as we study more. Now, here on the Word of Life, we encourage you to join us again next week as we continue our study into glimpses of Christ.